Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello.
You cannot start like
Hello,
that.
Hello, welcome to the IGN UK podcast. It's been Gamescom week.
It's been a very long day.
I'm not going to lie to you. It's been a very long week. And we've just got back to the office. We've dropped off all our kit. And because, frankly, we're working from home tomorrow in massive inverted commas. So we're going to have to record the podcast today. I'm Daniel Cooper. I'm joined by Simon Cardy.
Hello.
Rory Powers.
Hi.
Hello, boys. Thank you for coming back and doing this with me.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure,
we're basically in a darkened studio.
Yeah. We were just...
Our eyes are heavy.
Moments before we started recording, me and Dan were just looking up Chinese takeaways near
our houses.
Which
become over the last few years, I'm sure we've mentioned this in the last couple of years, that the day we get back from Gamescom, we all get a Chinese.
And take then, pictures and of and it and send it to each other.
Fucking sad us.
That's pretty sad.
I do like looking what other people get and just going... Oh,
interesting.
Didn't expect that from them.
I didn't have you down as a dumpling man. No, I'm not a big fan. I'll have
the food, not the nation or the people.
Get some chips, mate. Chinese places do banging chips.
I don't want that.
It's like
more,
a pound for 100. It's
much
mad.
More of a curry man.
100 chips. Can I have 100 chips, please?
Much more of a go to an Indian, get a curry.
Are you all right?
No, I'm so tired.
Okay, right.
All right, some energy,
so
boys.
We've been traveling for 7 hours.
It's going to be very...
Give us a break.
Formally, this is going to be a very loose podcast where we basically talk about our favourite games of the show. Ooh. So, first off, Rory Powers, you went and played a little game called DMC.
I did, yes. It was the game I was looking forward to most, I think, out of the entire convention. I played the demo. It was the same demo, and I played it over 3 times. Once... by being very sneaky and pretending like I had gone on the wrong console by mistake, so then I could go on the right console and play it again. Oh. That's some tactics there, boys. Oh, think about
we could
that.
Have captured game, extra yeah. stuff there. Unbelievable. Wasting our time, if anything.
I am obviously a big DMC fan, big Devil May Cry fan, and I loved it. I thought it was really cool. In this game...
Who do you play?
You play as Nero.
So tell me who Nero is. If people listen to this,
yeah,
don't
I've
know.
Never played Devil May Cry.
Oh, boy.
What's going on?
No, don't.
Here we go. All right. The sun rises.
Yeah, I want to go home soon. Right. I've got this Chinese on order.
Nero is basically a character that was introduced in DMC 4.
I hope you're right. Otherwise, we're going to get some emails on
that. I am right. I'm definitely right. He's a new character that was brought into the series that he is part of the same bloodline as Dante, who is the main character of the original ones, but I don't think it's been confirmed as to how he's exactly related. What?
I thought he was his nephew.
Some people think it's something to do with Dante's twin brother.
I think you're going to say, some people think it's something to do with him being the son of his brother, but...
Who knows? I think the only time that was mentioned was like in an art book or something. I'm getting off topic anyway, though.
See, I've never played them, but I've read the art book.
But the point being, in 4, one of his main abilities was he had this like demon arm, which was called the Devil Bringer. At the start of DMC5, it looks like he's had that arm ripped off by someone.
Unbelievable.
And I do that when I sit on my left arm for a little bit.
And
I call it the devil bringer.
Well, now, thanks to his friend who he's working with, she's made a prosthetic called the devil breaker. And in this game, this works kind of like similar to the devil bringer. You can use it to like grab enemies from really far away, but there's also a ton of different types of prosthetics that have all these different abilities. So some are like electric, some do like firepower. One that I picked up did like a Kamehameha blast. A Kamehameha blast.
Kamehameha.
Dragon Ball Z, what are you? Come on, guys.
Look, we don't like your bullshit.
It's been recruited by the Krishnas. Hare, Hare Krishna.
But the game basically works as you kind of burn through these arms really quickly. I thought it was going to be more you had one and you would upgrade it and have different abilities. But you go through them so quick because you're just picking up more and like plugging them into the socket.
So Joe showed me like a crazy gif where is there a weapon that's also a motorbike?
That was from the trailer that came out after the new demo was live, and that is Dante. It looks like that's a weapon that he can use.
So Dante is in it as well.
Yeah. At the end of the first trailer, you saw he's like old man Dante now. He looks insane. He's got like a crazy beard and like really long hair, and he's riding in on this motorbike. And then in this gif, he tore the motorbike in two and basically used them as like swords.
They don't give a shit.
The games are insane.
Do whatever they want.
They've been progressively getting like weirder and weirder. If you go back and play the first one, it's so funny to see the difference because that was obviously fixed camera. It was a lot like Resident Evil. Because I think it originally was going to be Resident Evil. But now it's just got more insane with all the installments. But if you like that kind of like fast combat, stylish fighting, just dumb one-liners and big boss fights, this is a perfect
Bayonetta-y.
Game.
Bayonetta-y.
Oh, yeah. It's very Bayonetta-y.
Either, so good frame
cool. That sounds awesome. You presented it on our live streams and you wore Nero's jacket.
Yeah, they had the actual jacket that
they was in the game.
That they... Well, to be fair, it's the jacket, that they 3D scanned and then put it into the game.
And it was a bit pricey.
It was worth 10 grand. And I asked if I could keep it and they said no.
That's surprising.
I guess that's understandable.
No.
I'm not torn up. I don't think about it at all anymore. It's fine. It's cool. I'm over it.
Okay, cool. Oh, that sounds awesome. I really want to play that.
Cool.
In the interest of like variety, let's cover another Japanese game involving upgradable prosthetic arms. Sekiro.
Yes.
You got to play it.
Yeah. I did. We did a prepare to try.
I got to watch you play it.
We did a little episode prepare to try on it. And that's the first time you've been able to play it. Because you saw it at E3.
Yeah.
Was it exactly the same thing you saw at E3 that we got to play?
No, because I think it was the same area, but obviously at E3, because I was watching...
You can't do a mad cough like that and not address it.
Sorry.
Is that a Kamehameha?
Because at E3, I was watching gameplay demo of someone else who was actually good at the game.
Oh, yeah.
I saw loads of stuff. I saw boss fights. I saw that big snake that people were talking about.
We saw about one courtyard that you fought in.
We didn't even go around the corner.
We saw about four enemies. And then one slightly bigger enemy in our half an hour play.
So you want to see what that game's about. Like, watch our things. It is funny and like a bit of a laugh. But go watch some other gameplay. We get to see the monsters.
Yeah. But it's cool.
It's very intricate. And I feel like there's a lot... The combat system, obviously like the Souls games and Bloodborne, there's a lot to it in terms of combos. But even more so because... It's a lot about deflecting and breaking stances and killer blows and doing all this sort of stuff. Like, it's very intricate, and I feel like it wasn't very easy to intuitively pick that up.
It was surprisingly a lot like Neo, the combat, like having to approach a situation based on how your enemy is like holding their sword.
Yes.
Like their different postures would let you know if they're going to be
a bit like that as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really cool.
Can you do with the removable arm in this one? Anything?
So that's a lot more similar to how I thought it was going to be in DMC, right? Because it's just like three variants.
Well, in the demo build, but there's going to be more. So I'm going to compare it to Bloodborne and Souls just a little bit, just to like orientate people. But I think is a bit like a trick weapon, which obviously exists in Bloodborne.
Yeah.
But it functions more like the guns do in Bloodborne. So you have to pick up these little white crosses, and they're effectively fuel for your prosthetic arm.
Of course.
Of course.
That makes sense.
And depending on what attachment you have, what arm you have on, they burn through at a different rate. Mm. So that the shuriken arm uses one at a time of this currency. If you use the firearm, it might be three or four, but they're still balancing.
Oh, and we use the firearm.
Yeah.
Boy, do we use the firearm.
It's not like a weapon as such, like that you can just use infinitely. It's like it's got a cost, and it's more of a tactical thing, like the gun in Bloodborne, so it's a bit...
There was also like a lot of cool little details on top of that. Like at one point, the guy who was helping us with our demo was like, hey, light a guy on fire, then strike him with your sword. And if you do it right, your sword will go on fire as well.
Flame sword. So what other little combinations will there be?
There looks like really a lot of verticality in this one as well. You can grapple, can't you?
Yeah, like there's stealth is viable.
You can,
Cardi.
Yeah, you can. I'm not wrong. You could just hide up there, have a little heal.
Yeah.
Which we did as well. To heal, you eat little gourds.
Ooh.
And sugar.
And you can eat sugar, which is some kind of buff as well. Mm. So he's eating pumpkins and... Dousing sugar.
Halloween game, isn't it, really?
Lovely. I saw the Corrupted Monk.
Of course.
Which is the boss. So when I went back and did an interview, there was a guy from Software playing the game, and he was wicked at it. You'd open him to be. And he was fighting the boss called the Corrupted Monk, which was fighting in like, it's beautiful looking game.
Like religious to make monk, it very not beautiful. Like detective monk.
Yes, it's not Tony Shalhoub.
it wasn't him going mad on a bridge.
And you like cut off his head, his head grows back like it does in Men in Black. And you got to cut Tony Shalhoub's head off. From, if you're listening, it's not too late to patch it.
I'd play a Souls-like game set in the Men in Black universe.
I'll put that out there.
With Tony Shalhoub as an antagonist.
Why not?
And Frank the Pug.
Yep.
Oh, the Corrupted Pug.
It's like Artorias and Sif.
You could use
Tony Shalhoub and Frank the Pug.
Use the memory wipe, some sort of effect, I'm sure. Instead of bonfires, you erase your memory each time.
Why would that help?
Why wouldn't it?
Memory wipe.
I don't know.
Oh, all these enemies are back.
It's like, can you save the game? No, but you can forget everything.
Yeah.
No.
It's a cool little mechanic. You forget all the abilities that you learn.
Just wipes your save. These games are hard.
You just forget all the abilities you learn, so you start again all the time. You're relearning the game constantly.
But I said to the guy from Software, because... In a lot of From games, like corruption is a theme. Like Artorias is taken by the Abyss, and Bloodborne obviously is all going to shit. Yeah. Like I say, why is he corrupted? He's like,
can't tell you.
He's just like, I'm not the right person. Like, he's basically like, yeah, I'd ruin the story.
Mm.
Oh yeah, we've done it again. I wasn't implying that just recycling ideas. I hope that translated well.
Is this another...
You've done this shit again.
Is it another corrupted world, is it?
Is it a corrupted world sinking into darkness?
To be fair, I picked up something and it was like ash and something. I was like, move on from the ash, Miyazaki. He's obsessed with it.
Narrative ambiguity, is it? An intricate level design. Grow up,
mate.
Is this another voiceless protagonist as well?
He's voiceless, but I don't know if that's wholly true because he's a very definite character.
So there's no character... creator or anything?
No, he is.
Okay.
So
it's a weird looking Finchy.
The setup is like quite simple and story driven for us. So at the very beginning of the game, he loses his kind of this young lord he's meant to protect.
Careless.
And he's kidnapped and he gets his arms chopped off in the opening sequence, I think. I think that's why that happens.
Just like DMC.
And he's brought back to life and the whole mission ostensibly is to rescue this young prince. But I'm sure... There's loads of weird...
There'll be a twist or turn or two. Ooh.
Or not even that. Just multiple levels of interpretation and perspective.
Well, isn't that life?
It is. So, yeah, I'm just going to move on from that. I'm just going to move on from that one.
It was great.
Simon, game that you've been wetting your little pants about.
I've been eager to see this.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk.
Is that a Polish accent?
No, it's just a voice.
A future accent?
It's just a voice.
Have you got a vocal cord augment?
Yeah. Cyberpunk 2077. That's when it's set. It looks...
Is it? Really? Oh, sweet.
Night City, which I still think is a bad name.
Night City. K-Night or Night?
As in night, as in day and night.
I like it. Night City.
But yeah. I've only like ever seen it in day, it's so it's kind of...
City that always sleeps. Night City.
You're kind of city.
Basically, you saw the demo as well, didn't you?
I did. You've seen it, Powers.
I tried to get an appointment, but I was too slammed. Probably too slammed with seeing DMC three times.
And having a sleep.
Yeah. Well, I gather it's basically the same thing that Joe saw at E3, so I won't go again in detail because everyone's probably already heard it, but... I just would echo what he says. I think it looks very, very good.
I wasn't
blown away like some people are, but it's exactly what I expect it to be, which is very, very exciting.
I got really stressed watching it because I was watching it and it is an incredibly detailed open world. Mm. And I was watching it and I went, fuck me, this looks like a lot of work to make.
Yeah.
Everything is just so detailed. Like, you know, if you were cutting corners, you go, nobody's going to look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lads, leave it. It's not worth it.
Like half of these buildings you can't walk in. That sort of games.
There's like UI for hacking someone.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so stylish and completely different to this other UI that's created for a different system.
Yeah.
Or when you go get upgraded, like one of my favorite bits of it is there's a bit where you get a new job, a gangster says, go steal some stuff from me, simply. Sure. And before you do it, you're like, I'm going to get some new augments to my body before I go on this mission so I stand a better chance of completing it. And when you go to this doctor, he's putting the augments in. Like, in a lot of games, that could literally just be a menu and you don't need a really cut sequence for it. But you're like, one of the upgrades you get is like a new prosthetic eye.
Ooh, hello.
And he kind of links your body to the eye before it's in your body. So the eye that you're about to like have inserted into you is on the table next to you. And he's like, right, I'll just like connect you. So suddenly you're seeing yourself out of body.
No.
And then he picks it up and he's inserting it into your... How cool is
that? That is so cool.
And that's the thing that struck me the most, I think. All the abilities you can get. Well, we've only seen a tiny amount, I imagine.
Yeah, like...
It looks so cool. And the actual gunplay, which is the bit I was worried about, because they've never made a game
with gunplay,
but it looks really sad.
It's a really fun shooter. And then there's a bit later on the demo, it's like, we'll show you some other weapons. Here is a katana, a samurai sword, that also can deflect bullets with using electromagnetism. I'm like, I mean...
And, like, Wanted style, the trajectory of bullets, so you can aim at a wall and it will show you where it would bounce off,
like a ricochet bullet
behind a shield or something.
Like a ricochet bullet. Yeah, but when I was looking at this, I was like, fuck me, it's a lot of work.
I liked the
one. Stressed me out. I was like, oh, that took some time.
Yeah.
I like the one you mentioned where it essentially slows down time, but it also slows down the characters' voices.
This guy slides on a bridge.
Yeah, and it takes
a shotgun to this guy's legs. He blows his legs off at the kneecap. And in slow motion, this guy goes, oh, my legs!
I think he goes, oh, fuck my legs!
I would put that on, like, even when I'm in the stores and stuff, to be like, clink. What do you want to buy?
It looks
the
so
best
good.
Thing ever.
The one I just hope it has an engaging enough story to make me care. Yeah. That's my thing. Because the story, it looked obviously
you don't
really see a tiny bit.
Yeah, it's a sliver.
Like, I think dialogue wasn't the best.
I think some of it works.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you not hear "fuck my legs"?
It's a novel approach to dialogue. Fuck my legs.
Anyway. That's a quote right there. That's a take away. I think we
put that on the box.
I think we talked about it on the show before, but you guys would like, you're with me on augmentation, right? If it became available, you would totally double down.
I don't remember.
There's
it depends what it was.
There's a set of gangsters.
No, in general, like, would you not do it?
Well, I'm for it. Depends what the augmentation was.
Anything. Knife hands. Laser eyes.
Why would I need that?
You're not allowed knife hands.
Let me have one.
Why?
You can have a pen knife finger.
Is this whole show going to be about
and a corkscrew thumb?
We're always opening bottles of wine. He's doing brilliantly as a sommelier.
I'd like if I could just turn my feet into wheels.
Roll Heelys.
I want permanent Heelys.
In your actual.
I want to be a wheel. Do you remember? Did you ever watch Return to Oz? The wheelers in that terrified me.
Also, I know if you turned your feet into wheels, you would faceplant.
Just going around like Liverpool Street going into.
But the thing, I can switch between feet and those. They kind of like cycle around. So I can, if I want, I can be on wheels. And then other
stop.
Times, I can be on feet.
What?
Or just 1 foot, 1 wheel, go around in circles.
Oh, that's
well,
bad.
I could chop up onions and then go back to hands
Stink of onions.
I can pick up a knife.
I can wear heels.
Again, it was a short demo of Cyberpunk. It could be in there.
There could be wheels. You have a car.
There's a gang in the demo that you meet, and they're obsessed. They're almost like addicted to augments. Like some people like addicted to tattoos. So they've got so many augments. It's like they're barely human anymore. It's like they've almost like carved out their faces and replaced it with like
just glowing.
Yeah,
orbs.
That's
really
cool.
They're really creepy. Like, yeah. There's almost like hollowed out their bodies to replace it with augments.
It was
and it's
one
like,
of those
are they philosophically still humans anymore?
Mm. That's... But yeah, I imagine I will adore that game, but time will tell.
I thought you could say, I imagine, and I'll look into that one day.
The wheels sound pretty good.
We're going to do another little game called Ape Out.
Yeah,
Powers. This is like, do you want to walk me through what Ape Out is?
Yeah, we wanted to include this as like an honorary mention because it was a
is
game
your
that we.
Indie game of the show.
Yes, I would say it's our indie game of the show.
Is it
at
an
least
indie game?
It's mine?
I think it's really high up there.
Yeah, so it's basically it's a top-down game, very stylistic, where you play this monkey, this big ape,
never would
and guess. The every level starts off with you being in a cage, trapped, and you have to burst out and make your way, typically like out of whatever facility you're in. There's only two mechanics, which is shove someone like into a wall, or grab someone and hold onto it, or grab something.
But
and then
you
can throw them by pushing the button.
And you should say, like, when you shove them, it has quite spectacular consequences. As
well,
in the,
when?
Well, when you shove a man.
Yeah.
Well, he basically explodes.
that consequence.
Yeah, when you shove him into
murder.
A wall.
I forgot
when you
about,
when you shove, so when the ape pushes someone into a wall, it's almost like instant death, and they just explode into constituent body parts.
Yeah, the brute force of the ape really just obliterates every human.
Yeah.
That sounds brilliant.
But one of the cool things about it is it's all kind of built around this like jazzy style. So all of the levels or the worlds, I guess, are albums, and you pick tracks that are listed in the album. And then as soon as you start playing, you've got this kind of like free flowing jazz music over the you know, the bass of the game. And then anytime you do something like push someone into a wall, you'll hear like a cymbal or something crash, like ksh.
Yeah.
And it kind of just like keeps up
so
this momentum.
You're adding to the composition.
Did you play Sound Shapes? It's a little bit like
a little
that.
Bit, yeah. Yes, yeah, it's similar
like
to our idea.
Builds as it goes sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's like it's a really cool idea. So I think I don't know if it's still available anymore. I first became aware of this game like almost like a year and a half ago, I think, when they announced the game. They put out like a playable teaser. So the teaser trailer for the game was playable. So I think you can go on PC still and find
a
that
like,
and get a
yeah.
little...
Just call that PT.
Yeah. Playable teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a really cool game. It's made by one dude or something.
Yeah, made by one guy who, I believe, teaches at a university and has done this just in his spare in his evenings.
Grow up.
He's made this game.
That's
and we were
ridiculous.
Playing it and I was like, this is like art. This
do,
is actual
I don't
human
do anything
stuff.
In the evenings.
No, we just order eat Chinese food, play Overwatch.
That sounds good though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, let's not make
I'm
a
happy.
Game. That sounds
I'm happy.
That sounds
I
like
pretend
a lot
I am.
Of work. But it was so much fun and it was a really creative game. There's so many little things in it where again, similar to Cyberpunk, it could have been they could have been really easy, but they've done something a bit more complex.
It's a very like clever idea for a game. I also one of my favorite things like when you die,
yeah.
you get on the game over screen, you get a kind of an entire overview of the level with a line charting your progress, so you can see how far you were to the end. And it's almost like when I played it, so I just came along and met you because I was there to do something else. And you put me on what turned out to be the final level, which is the hardest in the game. And I was like, doing all right here. Died. I was like, I would say 1/30th into the map. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
What's it out on? Is it coming on? Is it Switch?
Oh,
is that
I don't
a Switch know. Game?
I'm not sure.
We were playing it on PC.
Yeah. One of the really fun things is, because it sounds like you think like, oh, there's two buttons, grab and push, and that kind of would limit your options. But the variety comes with the characters. Like you'll bump into someone who has a machine gun. So if you grab them, they start panicking and fire their machine gun. Good so God. It's like you have a machine gun.
But can you customize any limbs in this one?
cannot customize any limbs. Once someone is split apart, you can pick up their arm and chuck it at other people. That's
every
pretty good.
Game so far has had removable limbs, and that's what we're going for.
It says PC and console.
PC and console.
I don't know what that means.
Side, also, Carter, you don't want to augment a gorilla.
Why?
That's how the world ends, people.
What?
That's how the world ends. That's when the apes will rise up. Apes with wheel feet? Are you kidding me? And knife hands?
They didn't even need that in Planet of the Apes, did they?
They didn't. Imagine if they had that, it would take half the time.
Accelerated ape dominance.
Yeah. Caesar was just a little bit smart.
AAD for short.
That's like a pheromone spray.
I'm going to start the warning campaign, the awareness campaign for AAD.
What does that stand for?
I've already forgotten.
what's an accelerated
ape dominance? That's
creating awareness for something he has already lost interest in. Brilliant. So that was a little overview of all the games at Gamescom, because it's quite late in the day and we are very tired.
Yeah.
We'll do a proper podcast later, honestly. Yeah. But we're also going to talk about a lovely little thing that you two did one morning. Ooh.
Yeah, a nice little 8:30 start.
The most.
Oh, I'm sure we're getting a load of sympathy from people listening to this podcast.
I was fine.
8:30 start. Look, these people listen to this going to be down mines from 5 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah, but they weren't up at 3 drinking zombies,
were
they?
Well, you were. I went home at 11:30 that night and got a sensible 7 hours.
I don't know what happens in the mining community. Maybe they do.
It could be like absolute party animals. Yeah. Well, basically.
It'd be an absolute bloody legend.
So, yeah, you were ridiculously hungover. Your eyes were tiny and you broke your ankle running for an obstacle course.
Yeah.
So what was the Fortnite thing?
It was obviously Fortnite. Pretty much the biggest game in the world right now. So they have this massive booth at Gamescom, which was essentially a Fortnite theme park where they had built a bunch of different activities that you could do that kind of resembled activities and locations in the game itself. So they had obstacle courses, they had a zip line where you would hang onto a glider from Fortnite and glide across the map.
A basketball hoop, you don't see those often.
Where you score baskets in Fortnite.
Yep.
They had pickaxes from the game that were foam where you could fight each other with. There was loads of cool stuff, and fair play to them. It was a really fun booth. As we said, I was very hungover.
Yep.
And what I didn't want to do that morning was ride a mechanical bull or
I wanted
zip
you
line.
To do it more than once. I wanted a better shot, but you said no.
No. If I ride it again, I will be sick or poo right now. So we left that. And throughout the obstacle course, I got really cocky. I might have still been a little bit drunk, but I got really cocky and tried to do a lot of things that were way above what I'm physically capable of doing.
Yep.
And obliterated myself.
You're so drunk, you thought you were augmented.
Yeah. Tried to slice the bone.
This is what I was trying to tell. I talked about this on the Facebook gaming live stream. You know when you see those videos of people doing like mad parkour and it's like they're floating, they'll like jump over a whole car.
Yeah. Watch that and go, I'll never be able to do that.
See, I watch it and think, I bet if I really tried, I could
training.
Do that.
A bit of training.
No training.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Do you not just think if you really wanted to backflip right now, do you think you could do a backflip?
I think I'd break my neck.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do
and
that
you're breaking
backflip.
Your neck.
You're going to break his neck one day.
I couldn't do it. I really hurt
as
myself.
As a result, you've got a grazed ankle.
And even with that experience, you still think next time, I bet I could do it.
I bet I could do it. Because I've learned now.
I think you did that.
Learned nothing. So a friend of mine worked on the Fortnite booth when you were there. She was helping arrange it. She said, I'm with Rory at Fortnite. I think he might actually throw up. And he said, and this is the best one. She said, you had to be rescued on the zip line.
Yeah, you did.
I did have to be rescued on the zip line.
Unfortunately, because I was, here's a little delve into my production process. I was filming super slow-mo on our Sony FS5.
Have you got footage of that?
Unfortunately not. This is the reason why, because I was using the end trigger slow-mo, which basically constantly records the last like 20 seconds or so. And then when you want that last 20 seconds, you press the trigger and it records that.
Yep.
So that was processing the slow-mo whilst he was getting rescued. So I was like, I either don't have the slow-mo shot of him doing it, or I film the funny bit of him getting rescued. And I went sensible and I got the actual bit of him ziplining.
Well, it was a mad thing because the dude who was helping me up onto the zipline and get me secured barely spoke English. Like, I couldn't understand what he was saying, and he couldn't understand what I was saying. So when I got to the front, he was like, hands rope. And I was like, okay. Thinking he meant like put your hands on your rope. And he's like, I lead you to glider. And I was like, okay. So he brought me over to the glider and we went down and he didn't like let me grab onto it. He just chucked me down.
It's because you're supposed to keep your hands on the rope.
No one told me that.
Wait, did
he said hands on rope.
He said hands rope while I bring you to the glider. So it's like, if you're zipping across with the glider above you that has handles with actual...
You get tied off.
I'm not going to lie, it would have been funny if you grabbed hold of those and the whole thing just
came down. Imagine the whole Fortnite booth just collapsing in on itself.
Before any of the public have had a chance.
And then crunching together and disappearing into a singularity.
Yeah. They just find me in the rubble.
And I just that on camera the last time we ever saw him.
They just find me in the rubble, like, covered in sick.
That would have been the most...
just passed out.
That would have been the most view video we would have had.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been great.
IGN destroyed the Fortnite booth.
Well, look, I was out drinking late, but I showed up and I did the job. And I think that's something to be proud of.
Well, he kind of did. You didn't.
That's what I was telling the guy as he was rescuing me from the zip line.
You got halfway on the zip line. You lasted 4 seconds on the mechanical ball. You consider that a success.
Sorry, how many did you last, Cardi? Didn't do the bull, did he?
It's been a long week. It's been a long week. Right. Well, professionalism
someone's
is.
Someone's got to film it.
And professionalism is what I want.
Mm.
And on that note, after a very professional podcast, we're going to say goodbye to you and we will return next week.
You will order a Chinese.
What?
He was doing an outro.
Mate, he's ringing me. He's out the door.
Oh, what are you getting?
Mate,
what are you thinking again?
If he takes us back or he puts it in the bin.
Tell us what you think. What's your go-to?
My go-to? Singapore noodles.
Lovely.
Salt and pepper ribs.
Yep.
And I do like the chicken bowls with hot and sweet sour sauce.
Good.
Essentially
good.
Just massive chicken nuggets.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they have them in Hong Kong.
Yeah. Can I suggest one addition?
Ooh.
100 chips.
100
chips? One order of 100 chips.
It's a bit late now.
Oh, right.
Have you already ordered?
Yeah. Mate, I'm trying to get out of here. Right, bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.